Brain of Britain, 1992. A nationwide general knowledge contest for the title Brain of Britain, 1992. The chairman is Robert Robinson.
Hello. We pursue our search for the amplest brain of all, and this week we have four contestants from the South. They are Anthony Richmond, a clerk from Faversham, Kent, Mike Bilson, a milkman now retired from Oxford, Peter Grant, a charity director from Marden, Kent, and Mark Chivers, a bank officer from Canvey Island in Essex. I shan't trouble you with the rules unless they are contravened, but they're simplicity itself. Mr. Richmond, we start with you. What career did the writer Joseph Conrad follow for the first 20 years of his working life?
Seaman.
He was. Can you name one of the British Atlantic islands which are dependencies of Centrelina?
Tristan da Cunha.
Yes, there are a lot of others. I won't trouble you with them. You probably already know them. February the 6th was the 40th anniversary of the Queen's accession. Where was she when her father, George the 6th, died?
In Africa, I think Kenya.
Yes, Africa, big place, but Kenya, quite right, smaller. What kind of bird is a cushat?
A small bird of variegated hue.
No, I see Mycroft shakes his head in a funny sort of way. Mr. Bilson?
A type of parrot.
No, certainly not a type of parrot. Mr. Grant?
Finch?
No, it's not a finch.
A bird of prey?
No, Mr. Chivers, it's a pigeon. But I would have thought, well, no, pigeons are quite large, aren't they, compared with sparrows and finches and so forth. So I think Mycroft was quite right to deny you there, Mr. Richmond. Why should bottles of wine, Mr. Bilson, be stored on their sides?
To keep the cork moist.
It is so. Which English city was the venue of the 1991 World Student Games?
Sheffield.
Yes, Sheffield, poor devils. What was a ziggurat in Babylon and Assyria?
It was a type of pyramid, temple, with a temple on top.
I think that'd do. It's a temple tower, and it's constructed of a pile of flattened cubes, each smaller than the one below. Just visualise that. What story by Conan Doyle is said to have been inspired by Mount Roraima on the borders of Guyana, Brazil and Venezuela?
The Lost World.
Yes. What is the name of the fictional village where the veterinary partnership in TV's All Creatures Great and Small is based?
Beckendale. No, it's gone.
No, it's almost blasphemous not to know this.
I know it's Thirsk in reality, but what it is...
Is fiction. It Thirsk? Thought it was Askrigg.
Likewise.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, who knows?
I'm just killing time while you're thinking. No, it's Thirsk in reality, or it may be, or Askrigg, or it may be, but the answer is Darrowbee.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. Shocking you didn't know it. Mr. Grant, in what country was the jeweller Peter Carl Fabergé born?
In Russia?
Yes. Which island of the Balearics was in British hands for much of the 18th century following the outbreak of the War of the Spanish Succession?
Menorca.
Yes. Which Indian state was partitioned in 1960 into the two new states of Gujarat and Maharashtra?
Was it Punjab?
No. Mr. Bilson?
Hyderabad?
No. Mr. Chivers?
Assam?
No. Mr. Richmond?
Goa?
No. Bombay is the answer. Now, Mr. Chivers, who was the Olympic swimming champion who took over the role of Tarzan in 1932, made his last Tarzan film in 1948?
Johnny Weissmuller.
Yes. Before German reunification, there were two marks of car manufactured in East Germany, but both are being discontinued. Can you name either of them?
The Trabant?
Yes, that's one. The other's the Wartburg. It's a great name. I suppose they call it Wartburg, but Wartburg is a great name for a nice little car. Who was the leader of the German Democratic Republic from 1976 to 1989 before reunification?
Erich Honecker?
Yes. Of which metal is galena the main ore?
Lead.
Yes. Which church in Fleet Street was long associated with the newspaper industry, and though the newspapers have left Fleet Street, has a rector who is still chaplain to the press club?
St. Bride's.
You're right indeed. Well done. Storm of applause, because that's part of the rules I didn't mention. If you get five in a row, you get an extra one for being so clever. At the end of that opening round, the scores are 2 to Mr. Grant, 3 to Mr. Richmond, 4 to Mr. Bilson, 6 to Mr. Chivers. Mr. Richmond, which European power held Syria and the Lebanon under League of Nations mandate from 1920 until 1940, or the 1940s?
France.
Yes. Where in a poem did John Betjeman say he wanted friendly bombs to fall on?
Slough.
Yes, it was. Hugh Whitemore's play The Best of Friends was largely based on the correspondence between three friends, only one of whom was a professional writer. Can you name one of the friends?
No, I can't.
Oh, dear. Mr. Chivers?
George Bernard Shaw.
Well done, sir, George Bernard Shaw. The other two were Dame Laurentia McLaughlin, who was the abbess of Stanbrook Abbey near Malvern, and Sir Sidney Cockerell, who ran the Fitzwilliam Museum in Cambridge. Mr. Bilson, the capital and chief seaport of Liberia in West Africa is named after the fifth president of the United States. What's it called?
Monrovia.
It is. Where was the Roman historian Flavius Josephus born?
Judea.
You've outflanked Mycroft there, because he wanted you to say Jerusalem, but Jerusalem is in Judea, unless I got it absolutely wrong. This is an 18th century setting of a song which just made it into the 17th century backwards. Which play does it come from?
When that I was a little tiny boy with a hey, ho, hey, ho, the wind and the rain, a foolish thing was I, the toy, for the rain, it rained every day with a hey, ho, hey, ho, the wind and the rain, for the rain, it rained every day.
What play?
Twelfth Night.
Of course. And it's a clown, Festy, sings that at the end, and it's that setting was by Joseph Vernon. That was Martin Best singing, and he was accompanied by the Barlow Baroque players. Of which of the Gulf States is Manama the capital city?
Bahrain.
Yes. In computers, 2 nibbles equal 1 byte. How many bits generally equal 1 nibble?
4.
That was 5 in a row! What had happened to the audience? They usually wake me up. I don't have to wake them up. Good heavens. 5 in a row and 6. And we move on to Mr. Grant. Which of the dinosaurs resembled the rhinoceros but had 3 horns, 1 on its nose and 2 above its eyes?
Triceratops.
Yes. When, during the 1988 presidential election campaign, George Bush told the voters, "Read my lips," what words did the voters hear him say?
No more taxes. Or no new taxes.
Yeah, I think that's all right. Yes, no new taxes. What "read my lips" means is still a total mystery to me. 1992 is the centenary of the birth in South Wales of the boxer known as the Mighty Atom. He held the World Flyweight Championship from 1916 to 1923. What was his real name?
Tommy Farr.
No? No, he was quite large. Mr. Bilson.
Kid Lewis.
No? Jimmy Wilde is the answer to that. Mr. Chivers, which country got its independence following the Lancaster House Conference in London in 1979? Mr. Richmond.
Rhodesia.
I thought, Mr. Richmond, for one moment there, Mycroft was going to strain at a gnat, because, of course, the answer now is Zimbabwe, but no, he allows that Rhodesia is what it used to be. Yes. And at the end of that round, the scores are 4 to Mr. Grant, 6 to Mr. Richmond, 7 to Mr. Chivers, 10 to Mr. Bilson. Mr. Richmond. The poorer farming lands of Britain, where farmers have to be helped to stay on the land, are known as LFAs, which is short for what?
Less favoured areas.
It's a tremendously genteel euphemism, isn't it? But you're quite right. William the Conqueror's horse was responsible for his death. What happened?
He threw him whilst he was charging at fortification of some sort.
It's a glowing picture, yes, and there he was, all in armour and everything. No, it wasn't that, Mr. Grant.
Ruptured on the pommel of the saddle.
I'm afraid he was. That's exactly right. He was injured or ruptured, threw him forward on the saddle pommel. Mr. Bilson, what is the name of the arm of the Mediterranean to the north of Corsica that washes the coasts of mainland France, Monaco, and Italy?
The Ligurian Sea.
Right. From what small area in Italy does Lacrima Christi, the wine, come from?
The slopes of Vesuvius.
Yes. What do biologists mean when they say a species is endemic to a particular area?
It lives there and breeds there.
No, not that. Mr. Chivers?
It means it's found in that area only.
It is only found in that particular area. Mr. Grant, it's your turn. In the Gulf of St. Lawrence, that area of Canada, you may encounter a particularly unpleasant type of icy blizzard called the barber. Why is it called the barber?
Because it freezes the beards of people.
No, he won't have it. He won't have it. It's a good answer there. Anyone else have a try? Mr. Chivers?
Because it's so cutting.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, you see, he wouldn't have freezing the beards, wouldn't Mycroft, but it's so sharp it cuts the face. You see, barber. Oh, yes. Mr. Chivers, which Asian kingdom, where the Indian rupee is legal tender, also has its own unit of currency, the Nualtrum, which is divided into 100 chetrams?
Is it Burma?
No, Mr. Bilton?
Bhutan.
It is Bhutan. Well, let me tell you how things stand now. We have 5 for Mr. Grant, 7 for Mr. Richmond, 9 for Mr. Chivers, 13 for Mr. Bilson. Now we're about halfway through our contest, and we have a couple of questions from a listener who hopes to skittle you all 4 out as you address yourself to these questions. They come from Mr. W.E. Tomkin of Warminster, and he asks you, why is the cedilla, the little squiggle appearing under some letters in words of foreign origin to soften the sound, so called? Why is it called the cedilla?
Is it some sort of corruption of cowdilla, meaning a small tail?
No, but that's a much better answer, because the answer that I am given from Mr. Tomkin... the word cedilla comes from the Spanish zedilla, if I pronounce it correctly. It sounds good the way I said it anyway, which is the diminutive of zeta, the name of the letter Z. Now, as explanations go, it's a bit like a map with a bit torn off it. I mean, I don't know that that's an explanation, kind of a description, but I like yours best, or better, I should say. But it won't do, so Mr. Tomkin has won that first round of, gives you a second one. He bowls you out with this. There is an old pair of wooden household steps which are a foot or so taller than is usual. There's an interesting opening. He says this person has always lived in houses where the ceilings are of normal height, about 8 feet. Well, good luck. When they were bought, these steps, they were considered a good buy. Mr. Tomkin says, why would that be?
We have no very definite answer, but possibly he could sit on them instead of standing up.
That, again, I have to say, is a much more interesting and more convincing answer than the true one. Let me tell you the true answer. The steps, I mean, this is a 3-volume novel. The steps were bought some 40 years ago. Cast your minds back. In those days, purchase tax was levied on domestic goods, such as steps, but it didn't apply to taller ones, that's to say taller steps, which were deemed to be craftsmen's tools and to be only suitable for, and therefore bought by, decorators. This is really Agatha Christie kind of. The next size taller than domestic did not, as they put it, attract purchase tax, so it was better value. Well, I think Mr. Tomkin could easily have said, and he might have added, what was the colour of this chap's sister-in-law's eyes? Only left that out, or if he didn't, perhaps Mycroft struck it out. But there, I'm only teasing Mr. Tomkin because he's won, as well he might have done. In both particulars, he gets a round of applause and the quiz book. Goodness me, that was interesting. Let's get back to the ordinary humdrum course of affairs, Mr. Richmond. What is the title of Daniel Defoe's sequel to The Life and Adventures of Robinson Crusoe?
Man Friday?
No, not bad, Mr. Grant.
Is it More Adventures of Robinson Crusoe?
No, it is not. No, it's not. Mr. Bilson?
Crusoe 2.
You've been tainted by Hollywood, Mr. Bilson. No? Mr. Chivers?
Friday's Child.
Oh, dear. Please a Brit there. True merit when recognized, the audience recognizes it. No, it's called The Father Adventures, or you would might say The Further Adventures, but The Father Adventures. More, yes, you had the spirit of the thing, but we need it precisely. Mr. Bilson, the Glaciarium, opened in 1876 near the King's Road, Chelsea, was Britain's first successful what?
Ice cream parlour.
Not ice cream parlour.
In effect, deep freeze.
No, Mr. Richmond, it was not a deep freeze. Mr. Grant.
An ice-making factory.
It was not an ice-making factory. Now, Mr. Chivers, all to play for. The Glaciarium.
Was it a discotheque?
Oh. I don't think they had any gramophone records then, did they? Or, you know, perhaps they just sung along. It was an artificial ice rink. If it wasn't an ice cream parlour, I thought you might have got the ice rink, but no. Now, Mr. Grant, what originally was the Alamo, the building in San Antonio, Texas, that was besieged by the Mexicans in 1836?
It was a mission house.
It was?
Church.
After Boswell had proposed a visit to Ireland, what did Dr. Johnson say was worth seeing, but not worth going to see?
Dublin?
No, Mr. Bilson.
The Giant's Causeway.
Yes, the Giant's Causeway. Mr. Chivers, which 19th century scientist coined the word agnosticism to sum up his own attitude?
Was it Pascal?
No, Mr. Bilson.
Huxley.
Huxley is the answer. Well done. And that brings us to the end of that round. And the figures at this moment are 6 to Mr. Grant, 7 to Mr. Richmond, 9 to Mr. Chivers, and 15 to Mr. Bilson. Mr. Richmond, what is the difference between a cryptogram and a cryptogam?
The former is a sort of code or puzzle. Cryptogam is a species of insect.
No. Mr. Bilson.
A cryptogam is something to do with seeds, hidden seeds, covered seeds.
I don't used to do with seeds.
Is a cryptogam to do with letters rather than numbers?
No.
It's a puzzle with pictures rather than words.
No, that's nice. It isn't that. It is a plant. So it is remotely to do with seeds, but you were too far away. It's a plant. It's a special plant which does not have proper flowers. I earlier asked Mycroft what were improper flowers or what were flowers that weren't quite flowers. But he said, don't be captious, and we turned to other things. Now, Mr. Bilson, it's your turn. A novel by Alessandro Manzoni begins with Renzo Tramaglino and Lucia Mandella hoping to be married the following day, and after many adventures and misadventures, including war, famine, and opposition from a local nobleman, ends with their getting married. What is the book called?
I Promessi Sposi.
It is indeed, or The Betrothed. This music we hear now is from some variations for cello and piano by Beethoven. Can you tell us who wrote this tune on which the variations are constructed?
Great and good Mr. Handel.
Yes, indeed. See, the Conquering Hero comes from his oratorio Judas Maccabeus, cellist Jacqueline Dupre, pianist Daniel Barenboim. World Animal Day in 1991 was the 4th of October, a date chosen because it is a saint's day. Which saint?
It's got to be St. Francis of Assisi.
Indeed, you worked it out. The building of a railway linking Berlin and a city which was then a Turkish possession was one of the causes of tension before 1914. What city was the railway's ultimate destination?
Baghdad.
It was. What geographical record is held by the Bay of Fundy on the Atlantic coast of Canada?
The highest tidal difference.
Indeed, a maximum of 54 feet between high and low tide. And that is 5 in a row. Wake up! I mean, you clap hard enough when you are awake, but I mean, there you are. Wonderful. Five in a row. Extra mark. We go to Mr. Grant now. Anne-Marie Grossholtz was born in Strasbourg, or possibly Bern. No one is certain. She lived and worked for a while in Paris, and in 1802 moved with her business to Britain, where the business still operates in London under her married name. Who was she?
Madame Tussaud.
Yes. The unit of force in the Système International is abbreviated to N. What is an N in full?
No,
Mr. Bilson?
Newton.
Yes, a Newton. Mr. Chivers, what abbreviation would appear after someone's name in formal documents to indicate he's a member of the lowest order of knights, the Knight's Bachelor?
KBA?
No. Mr. Richmond?
Large K, small T.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely right. Large K, small T. And at the end of that round, we have 7 for Mr. Grant, 8 for Mr. Richmond, 9 for Mr. Chivers, 22 to Mr. Bilson. Can you tell us, Mr. Richmond, what aspect of animal life the science of ethology studies?
How they live together in family groups.
Yes, it says animal behaviour here, the relationship between the character of an organism and its environment. But, family groups. I get a nod, and I nod on to you, Mr. Richmond. Richard Brinsley Sheridan had 2 careers. One, of course, was in the theatre. He was a playwright. What was the other?
Well, he was an essayist as well, but is that what you want?
No, it is not. No. Mr. Bilson.
Member of Parliament.
Yes, you're right. Your turn again. Who or what was Asgard, I'm simply pronouncing it as it's written, in Norse mythology?
The home of the gods.
Yes. Which African country was at one time, though nominally an independent state, actually the personal property of a European monarch?
The Belgian Congo.
Yes. What items of 18th century personal adornment were the ramillies, the pigeon's wing, and the cauliflower?
Types of wig?
Yes, they were. Well done. What was the title of Aldous Huxley's book that John Whiting dramatised as The Devils, and together with Whiting, Ken Russell filmed as The Devils also?
The Devils of Loudun.
Yes. Well done. Well, you were wide awake then, but he'd only scored 4. You're just trying to put me off, I know. Wrong foot the chairman time, I know. Well, anyway, you're 4. Now, let's go on. What was Elisha Graves Otis's main contribution to the design of modern lifts?
The automatic brake.
That'll do nicely, yes. It was a jolly good idea, which sort of put out little tongued and groove things, and if the rope broke, it hung onto the wall, something like that, just the thing. And that was 5 in a row, and you get the extra mark, Mr. Bilson. Mr. Grant, killer whales sometimes look for their prey while spy-hopping. What is spy-hopping?
When they leap into the air to look.
They don't leap.
They prey.
They do not leap. Mr. Bilson?
They tread water.
With their tiny little feet?
With their very large tail fins.
No. I think, Mike, I think you'd only tread water if you've got a, wearing those rubber flippers, and I don't think they're wearing those. No, it isn't that. It isn't that. Mr. Richmond?
They go up from the surface and down to the bottom in an undulating sort of series of curves.
They think that's called swimming. But, I see it isn't the undulating curves. Perhaps they do all that, but that isn't it either. Mr. Chivers, have a go. No, they hang vertically in the water. Now, it's very close to treading water, and Mr. Bilson looks rather stung by the information, but it's not the same as treading water. They hang vertically with their heads above the surface.
I think I'm looking for penguins on the ice.
you're not getting the mark. That's what I've seen 1 or 2 looks on Mycroft's face, and that's what that means. No, he's happy to think you didn't get it quite right. Mr. Chivers, who in a sonnet called his dead wife my late espoused saint?
Richard Lovelace?
No. Mr. Bilson?
John Milton.
Yes, John Milton is right. Well done. And the scores are now 7 to Mr. Grant, 9 to Mr. Richmond, 9 to Mr. Chivers, 30 to Mr. Filson. Here we embark on the last round, if you can embark on rounds, but you know what I mean. Mr. Richmond, what was the misleading nickname of the painter Peter Bruegel, the first of the Bruegel painters who painted The Massacre of the Innocents, The Fall of the Rebel Angels, and the five landscape pictures called The Months? What was his misleading nickname?
Was he the younger?
No, that might have been a nickname, and it isn't the one we're after. Someone else have a go? I think it's quite difficult to guess if you happen not to know. Peasant Bruegel was his nickname, but he wasn't a peasant. So, Mr. Bilson, when the Mary Rose sank off Southsea in 1545, how did the water first get in?
Through the gunports.
Yes. The biggest islands of Orkney and of Shetland are often known by the same name. What are they called?
Mainland.
Yes. Which three metals are sometimes known as the coinage metals?
Copper, nickel, and zinc.
No. Mr. Richmond?
Gold, silver, brass.
No. Mr. Grant?
Copper, nickel, and silver.
No. Now, Mr. Chivers?
Copper, nickel, and brass.
No. Gold, silver, and copper. There. I thought it was obvious, but then I'm just sitting looking at the answer here, aren't I? Mr. Grant, what type of glass is produced when boric oxide is added during manufacture?
Frosted or opaque glass.
No, isn't that, Mr. Richmond?
Float glass.
No. Mr. Bilson?
Hardened or toughened glass.
No.
Stained glass.
Not stained glass, it is fireproof or heat-resistant glass. Mr. Chivers, in the title of what body was the word propaganda introduced to the language?
The pause?
No, Mr. Bilton?
It's something to do with propagating the gospel and Catholic... Was it the Jesuits, possibly?
So, a few more words.
The order of Jesus for the propagation of the gospel?
No. Mr. Richmond.
It was Propaganda Fide, and it was...
Propaganda Fide is close enough for us, Mr. Richmond. The Congregatio de Propaganda Fide, the College for Propagation of the Faith. So, yes, you have it. And at the end of the round, the end of that last round, the final scores on this occasion are 7 to Mr. Grant, 9 to Mr. Chivers, 10 to Mr. Richmond, 32 to Mr. Bilson. So I think there's no doubt about it that at 32, Mr. Bilson was well ahead, and he is our winner. We congratulate him. He goes forward to our semi-finals. Next week, we have another four contestants, also from the South. Until then, goodbye.
Chairman of Brain of Britain was Robert Robinson, and the questions were set by Ian Gillis. The programme was devised by John P. Wynne and produced by Richard Edis.